Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast here.
Been seeing you guys' podcast kind of blowing up here recently, so glad to get on.
It's Monday, January 9th, the regular season. The 2022 regular NFL season is officially over, and that means we're on to playoffs, we're on to coach firing season, we're on to, you know, speculation about the draft season. That's great stuff, but before we get into any of that, we do have to recap a wild and crazy, and I think lived up to its billing, Week 18, and here to do that is Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, Harmon. Took my daughter and her friend to the Niner game. They had a great time, and that awesome. was fun to see. Was able to get away for Week 18, so I didn't watch all the games as intently as usual. But some crazy stuff happened, and I have some thoughts. I mean, the whole Packers situation was pretty crazy. That came down to Sunday night. But how about yourself, man? How are you doing? I saw some good food pics you're putting out this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend was a pretty epic food weekend here. I had a bunch of like my wife's and her friends, I guess, are my friends now. You know, it all intertwines, right? But her like high school friends and their significant others all came over. So I'm like, Dalton, I gotta say this to you, and I know Lord Podcast and he will appreciate this, and hopefully some of the listeners do too. But I, you know, literally get up at 6:30 in the morning because we're making this like big nacho spread basically, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go all out. I'm gonna have pork, beef, and chicken. I'm gonna have all three types of meat ready and selected for people. I get up at 6:30 in the morning, the ass crack of dawn, and I, you know, get the pulled pork ready, the shredded beef, you know, work all day on that. And everybody's favorite was the chicken, which took like 45 minutes to throw on the smoker at the end of it while everything else is resting. I mean, just look, I mean, I guess that's good because chicken can be so bland and boring, and I guess the fact that I nailed the chicken is probably a good thing, but my God, Dalton, it is definitely part of me. It's like, come on, that's everybody's favorite.
Yeah, that's
the chicken?
A distant third. Yeah, that's a distant third. You had to have used thighs, is my guess, because that's
bone in, skin on thighs, 100%.
That's the best for sure. Yeah, no, that's disappointing for sure. You got to go with the carnitas or the steak, but hey, at least they were fans. I'm sure they all looked delicious, man. It looked
yeah,
good.
It was great. It was great, and I treated myself to like making leftover sandwiches the next day with like the leftover shredded beef and the leftover shredded pork, and that was. I almost tweeted a picture of it, but then I was like, I don't really care that much. So it just is on Instagram. But a shredded beef sandwich with homemade chimichurri and mozzarella, it was probably like top five sandwich I've ever eaten. And I made it. So I feel pretty good about myself here heading into this Monday morning. Well, you know, and I got my Peloton ride in this morning, so I'm feeling extra good. OK, I'm not in regret mode like we sometimes are leaving weekends, but we'll put all the food talk to the side here, Dalton, because we got some business to attend to, starting with the Packers. As you mentioned, they lose to the Lions 20, Packers 16. The Lions beautifully just completely dunked on the idea of, like, quote, nothing to play for, right? Because that's the thing. Oh, the Lions have nothing to play for. The Packers got an easy road here. There was no easy road with Dan Campbell on the other side of the field there, Dalton.
Not at all, but man, it felt like the league wanted a certain team to make the playoffs. Or call me crazy. Normally, I scoff at this stuff and don't care about it, but Seattle, there was a questionable roughing the punter. Jalen Ramsey gets flagged with that play. The DK Metcalf shoves him in the face. Quandre Diggs is blatantly taunting after that interception late, not called. So it felt like the league wanted the Lions to have less incentive, and that backfired, man, because they just went great with these play calls. I'm not convinced that Dan Campbell wouldn't have gone for it on all those fourth downs and called that awesome lateral to Swift, even if the playoffs were on the line, because he has been aggressive. But man, the Packers game, I forget the little things, maybe was that Rodgers fumble or not, but the Packers defender forearmed the guy so severe in the face, not called. That would have just completely changed the game if not for the guy shoving the player down. And the hands to the face penalty when Aaron Rodgers is interception 10 yards away from the play that's never called. I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy guy usually, but it just felt like to me the league was doing everything in their power to get Rodgers in there. And then the way they acted suddenly, that maybe there was some word that he is retiring at the end. So I guess it made sense there. But careful what you wish for as a Niners fan. I'm going to watch Pete Carroll beat them next week now. But it was a wild, crazy turn of events. And I will say this, the Lions are absolutely about as good as any team in the NFC right now, I would say. That team's awesome. Everyone's going to be on them. They're not going to be a secret next year. But wow, what a good football team. They were like third in EPA per dropback this year. And they're the only team in the top 12 to not make the playoffs. I mean, and their defense with Hutchinson looking like a beast suddenly there at the end. I mean, he also finished like the third most snaps in the league among defensive players, which is awesome for a rookie. No rookie wall there. Three picks, too. So they have all the pieces in place. A great offensive line. And coach Jared Goff getting it done in the cold, you know, making me look silly, worried about outdoors. The Lions have a bright, bright future. And it's too bad they're not in the playoffs, because you put them in this tournament, I would be terrified as a Niner fan if I had to see them come Saturday.
100%. The NFC playoffs is like less fun with the Lions not in there. I mean, I'd certainly rather see them than even a few teams that I think they're so fun. I agree with you about everything you just said. And I guess the one big question with the Lions going forward, well, there's a couple things, right? I'm just like you. When I saw Goff, like, you know, he saw his own breath. He's got the double gloves on. I'm like, uh-oh, you know. And there were definitely some short hop throws, stuff like that. But the coaching, I think, is a great thing to point out. And I guess that's the one big question with the Lions is, like, are they going to be able to retain Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, who I think has been a revelation there? I love the way they call plays and just the way they use all their personnel in concert. And that, like, hook and lateral play with Amon-Ra St. Brown to DeAndre Swift was so inspired, going for it on fourth down with, like, going empty and then going all stick. That was incredible. It just great stuff from the Lions in a winning effort. By the way, did you hear Chris Collinsworth make Amon-Ra St. Brown Cooper Kupp comparison? I was like, oh, Chris, it's gone mainstream. I've been making this comparison since before St. Brown was drafted by the Lions. So that was at least a little validating for me at the end of the day.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. I when it cut to Jared Goff on the sideline in that coat after Rodgers scored touchdown to put him back up, he's like, let's go. Like, let's get right back to it, man. I was impressed. He went the final 9 games to end the season without an interception. Meanwhile, Dak Prescott got picked off in 7 straight games to end his year. So, yeah, it was cool stuff all around. Jamal Williams' interview afterward was epic. Yeah. He'll take you on the most roller coaster 55 seconds of your life. I mean, just cool, cool stuff from top to bottom there with the Lions. And I'm just, like I said, glad they're not in this tournament, because they're an awesome team. And I'm sure everyone's going to be on them next year, and rightfully so.
Yeah, definitely rightfully so. On the Packers side of it, you mentioned Rodgers' retirement. You know, I think it was Jameson Williams asked him for the jersey after the game, and he said, no, I think I'm going to hang on to this one. Immediately, you know, he's like walking off the field arm in arm with Randall Cobb, who's, you know, one of his best friends. They've played together forever. They're looking up, kind of like a take it all in type of moment for Rodgers. And of course, after the game, he sort of says he's got to sit down and like contemplate everything. He's got to think it over or whatever. So it definitely sounds like we should prepare ourselves for another offseason of like Aaron Rodgers' retirement speculation, and, you know, how quickly is he going to come to a decision, stuff like that, because that could have certainly been his last game. And it's a real tough way to go out, losing to what he described as, quote, that team earlier this year, and getting bounced from the playoffs. Tough way to go out if it's Rodgers' last game.
Yeah, didn't throw multiple TDs in any of his final 5 games. Didn't reach 300 passing yards in any game this season. Clearly showed his age more than Brady. Brady just skews everything for everyone. I mean, this is what happens when quarterbacks reach 40, typically, even Hall of Famers. But obviously still a very, very competent, and that'll a lot of things will matter on his decision, you know, over the offseason. It sounds like it's mostly up to him, his decision. It sounds like he has the control there with the contract. But, it'll have ramifications, obviously, for fantasy managers with Christian Watson and whatnot. Man, Watson, what a catch. We're from week one dropping the opening play, wide open 80-yard touchdown, to getting PI'd and pulling in the awesome catch downfield. He's going to be a terrific player. Let's hope he can stay healthy.
He's going to be an interesting guy to discuss in the offseason, I think, regardless. Probably, especially if Aaron Rodgers comes back, but I even think, like, regardless, he'll be a really interesting player to kind of discuss and analyze, because I think he took a lot of steps in the right direction as the year went on. But the Packers could look very different. They could get out of Aaron Jones' contract as well. And we'll see what happens. That's definitely going to be an interesting team to talk about in the offseason. Both these teams obviously missed the playoffs. We'll move on to another divisional contest here. Bills 35, Patriots 23. I mean, what a moment where, like, the first play the Bills have after the DeMar Hamlin, you know, the health crisis earlier this week and everything that's happened from there. It's been almost all across the board positive news the last, like, what, 3, 4, 5 days, something like that. But, you know, Nyheim Hines returns the kickoff for the touchdown, and Josh Allen on the sideline was really emotional about it. He was getting choked up about it after the game. What a moment for that team as the Bills, you know, cruise to the AFC's second seed here. The Patriots get bounced from the playoffs, and I think have a lot of questions as Bill Belichick announced that he is going to come back for this season. But I don't know. There's a lot of questions facing New England in the offseason.
Yeah, they got to address the play calling situation there on offense. Yeah, first of all, just such a cool moment to start off with a touchdown return. You can't make that stuff up. Storybook type stuff. Really, really cool. Mac Jones, Pat Thorman has been hammering this, but man, with play action, 104 passer rating without, 80.7. Yet he was the 38th of 40 qualifying quarterbacks in play action rate. And Bailey Zappi was getting it a ton during his limited action. So something to definitely address there during the offseason. And the Belichick's quotes were like, he can play a quarterback in this league, but again, left it vague and up to interpretation. But what about Gabe Davis? This one I might have been happy to miss because I heard he cost Josh Allen a ton of yards. I mean, John, your guy, this is actually pretty fitting. Your guy, Smokey Brown, got more yards than my guy, Gabe Davis, on one target than Gabe Davis got on 10. So I guess that was a fitting way to our Gabe Davis, Mike Evans end in a bet with Evans going off for 3 scores last week and, you know, sitting this one and then and just the dud from Gabe.
I mean, shout out to John Smoke Brown for that one. I've been waiting for that play since they signed him to the practice squad, that 42-yard catch, which, by the way, incredible throw from Josh Allen. Just this was
a great catch, too.
As it was a great catch. As much as, like, you know, I think the narrative, rightfully so, that we're focused on, like, the narrative and the emotions and the feel of for Buffalo right now. And again, I think that is the biggest story around the Bills right now. This is just like an incredible Josh Allen game, like a vintage Josh Allen performance where, I mean, the touchdown he threw to Stephon Diggs was incredible as well. And John Brown, for him to go, he takes the ball and give it to Denny Kellington, who's the trainer who administered CPR on Damar Hamlin. I thought that was really cool. So the Bills, like, just got a lot of goodness around the Bills right now. Gabe Davis. It wasn't the best Gave Davis game in the entire world, Dalton.
One final thought on this is that the Bills in the year getting the most yards per play at home this season, second most alliance. And this second round, am I doing the math wrong or the Bengals kind of got screwed, right? There's no coin flip. And if they both win, it's going to be a home game for Buffalo when Cincinnati would have had it had they won that Monday night game. That's correct, right? So that's an unfortunate result of that part. But all obviously great news otherwise there. But that's one thing that the Bills, that home matchup against this Bengals. I mean, yeah, the Bengals, those teams are very, very much more potent at home on offense. And that's something to think about.
It's definitely something to think about. Yeah. Patriots, of course, we'll see what happens with them. They have a ton of questions to answer. Mostly we cannot run the Matt Patricia thing back again. Can't do that. Got to get a real play caller in there. They have a ton of cap space and they can create more cap space by letting go of some of these bad contracts that they've had over the last few years. So this Patriots offense could look very different. Not that we have a lot of confidence in them giving a big spending spree. We've seen the results of that. And it's like Jonnu Smith making a ton of money and doing nothing. Hunter Henry, whatever. Nelson Aguilar, all that stuff. Jacoby Myers, also a free agent. Man, I kind of hope Jacoby Myers goes to just a really good passing offense because I think that guy's an underrated player.
Yeah, I guess Devontae Parker just owns the Bills. But real quick, a fun stat I heard. I believe Jonnu Smith broke 7 or 9 tackles this year on 27 catches, and Hunter Henry recorded 1 broken tackle over his 2 years in New England.
The Jonnu Smith thing was, I don't need to spend a ton of time here talking about Jonnu Smith, but that was one of the weirdest things ever, that they gave him all that money and then really never did much with him because he was like an exciting player in Tennessee. Like, oh, like not he never a complete player or anything like that, but it's like, oh, they're going to come with some fun stuff for Jonnu Smith to do, and it just never materialized despite giving him all that money. Definitely one of the most strange free agent deals of all time, the Jonnu Smith one. All right, you mentioned the Bengals. Let's talk about them here next. Bengals 27, Ravens 16. I mean, the Ravens, they started Anthony Brown. You know, they sat J.K. Dobbins. They obviously, you know, Lamar Jackson didn't play again. They sat Mark Andrews. It was pretty clear they were looking to next week. They were like, we don't care about this whole coin flip situation. We're just going to take the L this week. And the Bengals were more than happy to oblige.
Yeah, I think they're dealing with real injuries, both with Huntley and Jackson. So they just kind of took this as a mini bye. Nice to see Isaiah Likely put up 13 targets, 103 yards there for DFS players week 18. Yeah, not much to say here other than this was, we get to see a rematch immediately, but it's going to be quite different. And it just comes down to Lamar Jackson's availability is the main question this week.
Yep, that's the main question. And obviously, I've talked about it a lot. It's just it feels a little weird. It feels a little weird that John Harbaugh's consistently like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. We'll see. And no real definitive answers. And obviously, there's the contract situation hanging over in the background that we always have to keep up with Lamar. But I don't know. We don't have to spend a ton of time talking about this one because we will get this game again here in the first round of the playoffs. So let's move on to another one here. Jaguars 20, Titans 16. Look, I know I was talking about this last night with a buddy that, like, it's sometimes, especially when we do this professionally, you know, we talk about these teams every single week, that it can sort of get to be like, all right, we get it. You know, for example, Geno Smith going to this, we're going to talk about the Seahawks next game, but like Geno Smith going to the playoffs while Russell Wilson sits at home having, sported one of the worst records in the NFL. It's like, if you say that in week 18, it's like, we get it, dude. We know that Russell Wilson has stunk this year and Geno's been pretty damn good and the Seahawks are going to play. We get it. But it's like, no, that's still a crazy thing. Just like the fact that the Jaguars go from had the number one overall pick, a joke of a coach, you know, we're like worried about them ruining Trevor Lawrence, to now they're going to the playoffs. They're winning the division. That is a stunning turnaround. It's a huge credit to Doug Peterson. It's a huge credit to that whole organization. You know, Trevor Lawrence taking the leap this year. They got laughed all throughout March at all these contracts they gave out. But those guys ended up being key players. Christian Kirk, big game here to end the season. Evan Ingram had some big, big games towards the closing point of the year. Zay Jones even popped up with big games. You know, like in this game where it wasn't a clean offensive performance at all, Dalton, they couldn't run the ball at all. Trevor Lawrence made a few mistakes here and there. It's an incredible turnaround here for Jacksonville. And, you know, they're just like a night and day operation from the end of last year to this year.
And it must be included on Urban Meyer's resume that Jack Wires made the playoffs immediately afterward, too. Resume for the worst coaching performance of all time, to be clear, in the NFL, because it's,
yeah.
I've heard people battle that. But to me, he's the clear number one now. ETN, tough matchup against Tennessee. I like him a lot more this week if you're doing fantasy in the playoffs against a Chargers team playing a short week and got banged up Joey Bosa. But man, Trevor Lawrence, I've been hyping him like crazy. Maybe the best quarterback in the league over the previous 8 weeks, but was definitely off in this game for sure. Missed some throws. But I wasn't surprised that it was close. Tennessee's coached so well. Joshua Dobbs, a big upgrade over Willis. I mean, that was just noticeable. And they muckied up the game, you know, mucked it up and made it close. But happy to see Jacksonville in the playoffs, you know, and get a chance to see T-Law against Herbert. I mean, this is football porn come this weekend.
100%, dude. That's going to be a great game. And like, they gave them the night game, the Saturday night game.
I thought
they would be like, you know, let's put them first wild card game, you know, Saturday afternoon, something like that. You know, maybe the first game on something. No way, man. They gave the Jaguars pretty good billing there. So it's just an incredible turnaround for Jacksonville. And, you know, yeah, I thought Troy Aikman was pretty I love when Troy is like hard on guys. He was
overly harsh though. It's like, you know, there are very few players in the NFL that will miss that throw, and the view of Lawrence was not quite as open as the view that we got the benefit of. Sorry to interrupt you, but I was with you. Aikman was so harsh on
he
Lawrence.
Was harsh.
I was like, I get he's not playing perfectly, but damn.
Yeah, he went in on like a couple other guys during the game. I think like Christian Fulton for the Titans and stuff like that. Like he was fiery, which I like when Aikman's like that. I like when any of the guys are like that. But it did felt a little weird with the Trevor Lawrence stuff. But it was not the best game in the world from Trevor Lawrence. But that's, I think, even more encouraging for Jacksonville because you know that's the outlier. They still win this game over a Tennessee Titans team who was obviously super banged up. They're starting Josh Dobbs. Dobbs has like acquitted himself pretty well in the starting quarterback role here. Like he's been fine. He hasn't been terrible. He hasn't been great. He's just been fine. It's a super banged up Titans team, but as you mentioned, they're still well coached and they still play extremely hard.
And Jacksonville just lost Cam Robinson, their left tackle too last week. That's kind of been overlooked. I mean, a lot of teams, they just lost their left tackle too. So I'm selfishly super upset that they put that game Saturday night. I'll be driving home from the Niners game and I'd way rather put that Ravens Bengals mess on there instead. I'd rather miss that because I don't want to miss this Herbert Lawrence game at all. Should be fun.
They gotta get, you know, the AFC North game on Sunday Night Football. So that's not surprising there. Titans postmortem here. This, man, this team goes into the offseason with a lot of questions. We know they're looking for a new general manager because they fired John Robinson in the middle of the year. They need so much help on offense. I don't know if Tannehill's going to be the quarterback in 2023. I feel like when they make a decision on Tannehill will be sort of indicative of what comes next, because they already tried. I mean, they tried to go with the rookie this year, and it was pretty clear that Mike Vrabel was like, no, we're not developing Malik Willis or whatever. We're trying to win football games, which, I mean, Malik Willis was so far behind anywhere where he needed to be an NFL starting quarterback. So I get it. I get Vrabel's perspective on that. But is this a team that's going to start to rebuild? Have they passed one era? You know, what are they gave Derrick Henry an extension and a pay bump at the end of last year. So it seems like he would be around. Obviously he was the offensive focal point again, but man, their wide receiver situation is just, I know they drafted Treylon Burks in the first round. He showed a couple of flashes here and there, but I don't know if you can count on him just being like the center of your passing game next year. And beyond that, they have nothing. Their offensive line is headed for a rebuild. Just a lot of stuff in Tennessee. I think a lot of questions to be answered in the offseason.
Yeah, highlights how quickly this league changes. Rams won the Super Bowl last year, minus 77 point differential, 5-12. Titans were the number one seed and started out 7-3 and then finished 7-10, minus 61 point differential. Ryan Tannehill is the main question because Willis clearly does not look like the answer. He fell to the third for a reason, it appears. Tannehill, I don't even understand, what is his contract situation? It appears that they were ready to move on, but now they're going to have to reevaluate that to be sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, I know that Tannehill, he's just on a huge extension that they could potentially get out of. They could potentially, you know, he could be a trade guy, stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, this is the year where they could get out of that Tannehill deal. And I believe it's the final year. There's like void year, stuff like that, whatever. But they could get out of it and save money this year. But I think, again, if they did that, that would signal like it's a hard rebuild that we're going for the next era of football. But next era of Titans football, I just don't know if this team is like really, if Mike Vrabel's really wired that way, if he wants to do that, right? Like that, I think that, again, that's going to be the first big domino that we see that'll sort of, and a new GM obviously needs to be hired and then give his input on that.
And Jacksonville suddenly sitting with a star quarterback in a division with three other rebuilding teams.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. The Titans could certainly just like kind of hang on to the middle there. You know, with Jacksonville's got the star quarterback, like you mentioned, those other two teams are there. But, and we'll get to the Texans later. This is what puts the Texans in such a weird spot that they no longer have the number one pick, and they've got two other teams in their division potentially looking for long-term quarterbacks. So we'll get into that here in just a second. A lot of questions for the Titans to answer. First and foremost, they got to hire a general manager. Let's move to Seahawks 19, Rams 16. Again, like I said, when we were talking about the last game, it is pretty unreal that the Seahawks move on from Russell Wilson. Pete Carroll makes this huge bet on, you know, transitioning to a totally new era of Seahawks football here without the quarterback they've had all this time. It's Geno Smith. He has this unbelievable year. He goes to the Pro Bowl. Even if the offense faded a little bit down the stretch, and there's no questions based on any metric, they did fade down the stretch. Geno still made a handful of plays in this game, mostly on the move. You mentioned the Jalen Ramsey thing, but still, like, Geno was moving the ball pretty well with his legs here all throughout. It's just a huge testament to Pete Carroll and the organization there. And of course, Geno Smith's play that they're playing in San Francisco next week in the playoffs.
Dude, yeah, Geno, yes, one extra game, but he broke the franchise record for passing yards. I mean, is this real life? I mean, yes, it's totally crazy to go back 6 months in your mind and to think of Russell Wilson versus Geno Smith and this be the outcome. I mean, yes, it's absolutely wild, and they're in the playoffs. I personally underrated Lockett and Metcalf helping that system. I mean, and obviously Geno himself, but wow. He, awesome comeback player award. I'm sure he's going to win, and he's been great even with the fade down the stretch. But man, Pete Carroll's a good coach. I expect them to be competitive with the Niners. I guess in 20 possessions against the Niners this year, they've gotten one touchdown against them. But man, Geno's been awesome. I can't believe he set the franchise record for passing yards, replacing Wilson year one. It's crazy. They even increased his pass rate. I mean, it's just funny. I mean, maybe they were hiding Russell for a reason.
I think there is a lot of postmortem to do on that stuff. And like I said, it's sort of become old news, but it's still pretty evident that there was a lot going on there behind the scenes and everything. Geno Smith, the Lord Podcast just sent me this note. Geno Smith is the only quarterback in the NFC to throw for 30 touchdowns this year. Like that's wow. It's pretty wild. You mentioned the receivers, Tyler Lockett, wide receiver 13 in fantasy, DK Metcalf, wide receiver 18. Yeah, absolutely love to see that. I mean, from both guys, but especially from Tyler Lockett, man. I mean, this is an example of just sometimes with wide receiver, like you just got to look at talent. You can't overthink situation too much because we get situations wrong all the time, man. And, you know, there's obviously going to be certain guys who are blocked, you know, because of the situation, stuff like that. But, man, so many good things to come out of Seattle this year. Can't wait to see what they do against your Niners in the first round of the playoffs. But let's talk about the Rams here real quick. The big talking point going into this game, coming out of it, was Sean McVay's future. Sounds very much up in the air. You know, he said he wasn't thinking about that in his post-game presser, but everybody kind of reports that he might, you know, take a step away from coaching. And then that opens up, it just opens up a job that's pretty tough there in LA, considering, you know, the lack of resources. I don't know, man. The Rams could certainly be looking at a wilderness here pretty soon.
Yeah, that's the storyline to follow for sure. But what do we do with Cam Akers? I mean, few running backs impressed more down the stretch. He led the league in success rate entering last week, and he had another good game. I mean, he just looked terrific. I mean, if they don't bring in another running back, suddenly he's going to be heliumed up, man. I mean, he looked really good. But, you know, leave McVay's system would be another knock there, too. So, yeah, a lot to follow during the offseason there. But Cam Akers went from nearly being released to one of the best running backs in the entire league over the final 2 months. And that was a wild turnaround.
Yeah, first and foremost, we have to see what Sean McVay does, which I've said this before. I still, like, if he's stepping away because, like, the team's facing a rebuild, I think that's pretty lame. Like, I mean, come on. This is like, you could I would love to see what Sean McVay would do with rebuilding this team and, like, you know, transitioning to the next era. He's already transitioned it from one era to the next here. Like, what's act three gonna be? I would love to see that. If Amazon's gonna throw him a bag to replace Kirk Herbstreit, like, that's one thing. But if it's just like, I'm stepping away because it's gonna be a little more difficult now, I think that's kind of lame. But the second thing here, I know the narrative will be, if Sean McVay leaves, who wants that job? I get it. It's certainly not the best situation from a draft pick standpoint, everything like that. Like, obviously they are facing sort of a rebuild, retooling, but there are still good players on this roster. And don't underrate the fact that this is an owner and a ownership group that is willing to spend, that is willing to put resources into their football operations. Like, Sean McVay is a great coach, but there's a lot of resources and flexibility that the Rams have afforded this team because of the money that they have, everything like that, that's made this team what it is. So I do think it will be, and it's still LA, there's still a lot of attention. Like, this will be a somewhat attractive job if it does indeed open up. And then that's the trickle down effect that we have to follow for guys like Cam Akers and Cooper Kupp, who are going to be a part of this operation probably next year. If McVay leaves, does that cause like a new GM, a new coach and, you know, head of the team to sort of make a decision on Stafford and stuff like that? Like, that's really where it kind of starts for LA.
And you get to play in a $6 billion stadium as well.
Exactly.
But props to McVay
for
having the Rams play hard. You know, I mean, they to a Seattle, the team that was fighting for the playoffs, you know, in overtime with nothing to play for, and Mayfield shaky. I mean, he had this team prepared and played well, and importantly,
he's a good
covered
coach.
The spread. Yeah,
no, he's a good coach. That's why I want to see him. That's why I want to see him, like, rebuild this team and see what else happens. Like, it just would be I think it would be a real notch in his coaching resume. Like, look, if he's burnt out and he wants to go to do TV and whatever, I get it. But I think it would be a real notch in his coaching resume if he actually stuck through and took this team to the next era of Rams football, whatever that looks like. Like, again, maybe I'm crazy here, but I think if they just pour a ton of resources into the offensive line and they build that unit up, like, I think they still have a lot of players coming back from injury next year who could be pretty good. But yeah, that's just me. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, a lot of upside for sure. There's plenty of incentive for a coach to go to that situation, even with the lack of draft picks. As you said, the money will be pouring in, too. I mean, yeah, for sure. The LA like to spend money.
Yeah, that's 100% true. All right, I'm just lingering on that game because this next game is, I mean, Dolphins 11, Jets 6. Skylar Thompson versus Joe Flacco, man, for all the marbles. Dolphins make it into the playoffs. There's no Pittsburgh, you know, no Patriots. They end up making it there. Does Miami on the back of Skylar Thompson. It's really tough to talk about what the Dolphins will look like next week just because, can Tua clear the concussion protocol? If he doesn't clear the concussion protocol, he's not going out there, you know? And then are we going to get Skylar Thompson versus the Bills? That doesn't seem like it would be very fun to watch.
No, and how banged up is Tyreek Hill? I will just say the reports of Mike McDaniel's job being on the line hopefully were just erroneous, because that would be crazy considering the quarterback situation he had to deal with. My only other thoughts on this game is Garrett Wilson was recorded a 13-yard loss on the final play of this game on this crazy lateral play that resulted in his safety, and it brought him not just a 13-yard loss, but under a 100-yard bonus that matters to some people out there, and that was wild if you saw the play, how they recorded that, a minus 13-yard reception for Garrett Wilson, but 17 targets, and if you looked at his numbers with Flacco, they were quite good, too. I think he had the highest target rate in the NFL this season, I believe, actually, Garrett Wilson, when Zach Wilson was not his quarterback. So I know people are debating, yeah, if you look at Olave's yards per route run, he's actually better. The rookie of the year race should be closer, and I totally get that. Olave's a star, a stud, too, but man, Garrett Wilson, I can't wait to see what he does next year with a different quarterback that's not named Zach Wilson.
Yeah, 17 targets in this game for Garrett Wilson. Nobody else had more than four, which is crazy because there's good players on this team, right? Almost to the point where it's like, yo, you might need to spread that thing around a little bit. Robert Saleh didn't commit that Mike LaFleur would be back next year as the offensive coordinator, which I think is kind of surprising. I think this offense has been well designed. For the Jets, it's just all about very, very infrequently can you say a team needs to go into the offseason with a laser focus. But I do think this team has to go in with a laser focus on fixing the quarterback situation.
His 17-game pace without Zach Wilson was 191 targets this year as a rookie. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, dude, Garrett Wilson, you won't hear me say a bad word about him. He looks like an unbelievable like a potential top five receiver in the NFL. That's how good he looks. And now it's just about getting everybody else, like getting Elijah Moore back on track, you know, getting like, I mean, I don't know about Corey Davis. Like he might not be back with the team, but you know, it's just about getting somebody in there who's going to actually, you know, get these other guys back on track. Like who, and I know there's rhetoric about like, all right, you know, Zach Wilson's not done here. Like his story's not written, you know, just Joe Douglas want to move on from the second overall pick that fast. I don't know, man. I think they got to do something there to keep this team competitive, because they'll all be on the hot seat going in next year, and I don't think you could bet your job on Zach Wilson taking the next step. So we'll see what happens with the New York Jets. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got the number one overall pick switching hands here in the last week of the season right after this. All right, Texans 32, Colts 31, Lovie Smith giving Houston the fucking middle finger on the way out. He has a meeting with the team. What was it, on Saturday? You know, with ownership and all that. He has to know he's getting canned. And look, Lovie said after the game, you don't just go in and tell these guys to lose, you know, obviously. So the Texans win the game, which then gives the Bears the number one pick, Dalton. Enough cap room, I mean, to go, you know, trade for anybody. I mean, we'll talk about the Bears here in just a second, but the Texans now are sitting at the number two overall pick. And I know that there have been people out there. It's like, oh, who cares? Like, whatever. The Bears are not going to take a quarterback. Number one, you don't know that. Number two, it's not like somebody can't just trade right in front of you. It's always better to control the draft than to be in the second spot. So the Texans now officially number two pick. They fire Lovie Smith. They have a one and done coach in back-to-back years. Where do the Texans go from here?
Yeah, I believe the Texans picked up a fourth down play before even the fourth and 20 touchdown to Akins, and then they went for two also to get this to fall back in the draft. So yeah, Chicago's going to be sitting nicely with a lot of trade partners, it looks like there. That'll be fun speculation with some possible desirable QBs coming out of this draft. So wild game, possibly game of the weekend was this Colts Texans one. Zach Moss did work. It was a wild game that wasn't very meaningful until it was suddenly with the draft ramifications there at the very end.
Yeah, obviously the big story is Houston and what happened there with the second overall pick. Now that's a job. I don't know who wants that job, right? Like, I mean, again, you fired a coach in one season and back-to-back years. Not unlike with LA, what we talked about earlier. This is not an ownership group that you would just absolutely love to work for, any of that nonsense. I don't know. That's tough.
Just if you're sold on whoever you're drafting at number two, you know, I mean, I'd say that's the selling point now.
Right. And but there's still a chance that like Houston's going to have to give up resources to, like, you've seen this with the Mitch Trubisky thing before, right? When the 49ers drop back a pick to get the Bears up there to second overall to take Mitch Trubisky. Like this can happen here. Like the Texans can still get up. And again, if you're Chicago, that's worth it, right? To just take that. Anyways, they're the big story coming out of this. But the Colts, man, again, who wants that job, right? Like, this is what 2022 revealed to us is that ownership, and Zach Kiefer wrote a really good piece about this in The Athletic, just like ownership has officially, you know, taken the gloves off. They're, you know, Jim Irsay is meddling in the operation. That has been made clearer than I think anybody's ever made anything more clear in human history that was happening when he hired Jeff Saturday and all that. So the Colts were pretty terribly coached. Obviously, with Jeff Saturday, he was not cut out for the job. No shock there. They need a hard reset, I think, on everything in that organization.
Yeah, no question here. Only thing I'd add on the Colts is Jonathan Taylor. Word is it's possible he may need ankle surgery in the offseason. Mm-hmm. I've seen some top five lists floated out on the internet with him not on next year's running back rankings, which I did a double take on. But Jonathan Taylor is the interesting piece here for fantasy. But who's going to play quarterback to get your guy Pittman the quality targets downfield he so deserves?
God, I know that's painful. I don't know. And I think that Irsay is pretty tired of like the veteran stopgap. So it feels like they would want to go with a rookie. They would want to potentially, they're a team that could trade up ahead of Houston, right? Like mortgage the future. Chris Ballard is a desperate man at this point, like mortgage the future to go get a young quarterback to hopefully come in there and elevate things. So they're certainly a team to watch here as we head into the offseason. All right, next one. We just talked about this team, but Vikings 29, Bears 13. Bears understood the assignment. Get in there, play Nathan Peterman and Tim Boyle and take the L and pick first in the draft. We don't need to spend much time on Minnesota because we'll talk about them throughout the week. And we've talked a lot about, like, are they as good as their record says, you know, whatever. But the Chicago Bears. So, Dalton, what's going to happen at that number one overall pick? Do you think they'll just put it up for auction? Do you think there's a chance they could trade Justin Fields? Like, I think that's that's something that they'll talk about in the offseason. This is not the staff that brought in Justin Fields. You know, would you rather take like a shot on Bryce Young, who's going to be on a rookie deal for the next, and I don't have a take on Bryce Young, whatever, but just saying, would you rather take, you know, Bryce Young first overall in the draft, trade Justin Fields for a potentially maybe not as big of a haul as the number one overall pick, but still a pretty decent haul, and just like completely start over here? I think that's on the table here for the Chicago Bears.
Agreed. It's all on the table. For as good as Justin Fields was for fantasy managers, and it was a dream the way he's running. Yeah. It was not, you know, ideal real life passing growth year two. I mean, it's a tough situation in Chicago, and he had horrible receivers, but absolutely a new management could fall in love with the rookie, as you said, a cheaper contract and move on. That's absolutely option B here. Could be one of the alternatives, or they get a haul and they move back in the draft because they made the horrible move to bring in Chase Claypool. They could use some picks. So anything's on the table here, but good for them. They're happy that they have the number one pick with these options, but absolutely Justin Fields, monster fantasy, still question mark though, real life QB.
The Claypool trade, man. I mean, that, like, if you're like, all right, I have confidence in Ryan Poles and these boys to make the right decision here, then you just realize they traded what amounts to the 32nd overall pick, because Miami lost their first round pick in the whole.
That's valuable.
Yeah. Not great. Not a good trade. Not a good trade there for the Chicago Bears. Hell of a trade for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who we'll talk about a little bit later. I think it's all on the table for the Bears, and they'll be a really fun team to talk about over the next few months, because, again, you're right, Justin Fields was great for fantasy, but the situation stinks. Obviously, receiver core really wasn't good coming into the year and then eroded as the year went on. The offensive line was terrible, but Fields' sack rate is absurd over the last 2 years, higher than any other quarterback. So there's a lot of questions to be answered with him. And you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Bears decide to do there with that first overall pick. All right, we'll move to the Panthers 10, Saints 7. If the Panthers wanted to save Steve Wilkes' job with a win, I mean, I guess they got that win. And man, it is pretty clear out of, it's like a full on, like, universal notion from the locker room. They want Steve Wilkes to be the coach. I don't know if that's going to happen, but they did play hard for him down the stretch.
Yeah, New Orleans defense continued to play well, too. They didn't finish the year not allowing more than 20 points in a game since November 7th. But, man, Sam Darnold, before that last completion to Marshall to put him in field goal range, what did he have, 10 yards passing on the day? I mean,
yeah,
it was not a good
passing performance. They ran the ball 41 times, and Deonta Foreman got kicked out, like got ejected from this game at one point.
Yeah, Darnold does not look like the answer long-term, even if you look at that EPA numbers. Don't let that fool you. They hid him, and they played him in these rollouts and in play action and put him in hitters count. So I think and Carolina, yet another team that needs to address the quarterback position during the offseason. But nice gritty win. I mean, the coach definitely had him playing well. I certainly would have picked New Orleans to win this game. So, another team that fought to the end there.
Yeah, the Saints, obviously, a billion questions about them in the offseason. Can they get a good draft haul for Sean Payton if a team like Denver wants to trade for him? You know, even hey, if Sean McVay does step away, I could see the Rams trading for Sean Payton, right? I mean, that will be a big talking point for them, but they're another team without a first round pick right now, needs to solve the quarterback position. Man, it's painful to think about how good Garrett Wilson, Drake London, and Chris Olave were as rookies, and none of them have like a clear cut quarterback solution for next year. So can't wait to fall in love with yet another trapped receiver with bad quarterback play. That's just like my favorite thing to do. So we'll see that in the offseason. Chiefs 31, Raiders 13. Look, the Chiefs get the bye. They get the number one seed. This one was, I wouldn't even like statistically, whatever, that doesn't look that impressive for the Chiefs, but this was pretty easy to see coming that the Chiefs were going to win this game handily.
Yeah, for sure. Nice to Josh Jacobs was able to suit up, but not ideal there in the follow up. The loss meant that every team the week following facing the 49ers lost this season. I think they're collectively 0-15. Not really much to add on. I don't have on here. Just we'll see what happens with another quarterback situation in the offseason.
Yeah, the Raiders definitely. They're certainly facing a lot of questions, you know, whether they'll be able to trade Derek Carr, who are they going to bring in at quarterback? Josh Jacobs is hitting free agency. He's already sort of sounded like a man who's resigned to the fact that he's not going to be back,
for sure.
Which is, you know, kind of a shame because he was definitely like their offensive identity at certain points this year. And on the Chiefs, man, you know, they
Ronald
got
Jones sighting. Ronald Jones sighting.
Yeah, that's when you know you're down bad if you're the Raiders. Like Ronald Jones punching in TDs against you. They got Kadarius Toney in the mix. I think that's been fun to see him as like a gadget player. I don't think he's ever going to be like a legit full-time receiver, but he's so fun in like a, I don't know, Percy Harvin light kind of role there for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs are just having so much fun right now. They're doing like ring around the Rosie in the huddle and then, going into the snap there. So, hey, Andy Reid in his bag, they get the week off. Andy Reid coming off a bye, they'll definitely be a threat in the playoffs. But that's another one too that, we talk like the same thing with Geno Smith, the same thing with the Jaguars making this big turnaround. The fact that, Patrick Mahomes loses Tyreek Hill and then has like statistically one of his best seasons throws for 5,000 yards. It's just like the guy's incredible. And I can't remember. Somebody brought it up like a bunch of tweets of everybody projecting the AFC West finishes. And some people have the Chiefs third or fourth or whatever. And they just, cruise to the one seed here in the AFC.
Yeah. I believe McKinnon, McKinnon set the NFL record for six straight touchdown catch. That's the most ever by a running back in six straight games, eight total. And Patrick Mahomes with the number one seed, this means he will still never have played a road playoff game in his career. I mean, that is just crazy. He's never played on the road.
Pretty good stuff they got going there in Kansas City. Definitely anyone who doubted them coming into the year, tough look. All right, next one here, Eagles 22, Giants 16. The Giants weren't playing any starters. You know, they're going to be at Minnesota next week. Kenny Galladay finally returns on his big contract with a touchdown here. That's so funny. It's like, yeah, they're not playing any starters, but Kenny Galladay scores a touchdown, right? That contract.
Nice catch, too. What a catch.
I know. It looked pretty good. It looked a pretty good catch there for old Kenny Galladay, but we don't really talk about the Giants. They weren't playing any starters. They'll play in Minnesota next week. We'll see what happens with them. Eagles lock up the number one seed and a bye week that it looks like they need, because I still don't think Jalen Hurts is like 100% healthy.
Yeah, I mean, he said he's out there, was hurting, but he couldn't further damage it. So yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but you can't be super confident with the way the Eagles ended the year. But they get that important bye week. Miles Sanders, I don't know if he played this game with the knee brace, but he'd been wearing one throughout practice in the last couple of games. This was far from a great performance here against backups, but at least maybe they got it out of the way. And it was, I don't know, should they have not played Hurts in this game? I don't know, but it was not expected. I mean, this spread grew to 16 points or around kickoff. Yeah, it was, I did not expect it to be that close, including the Hurts, you know, first half. It's like, if you want to use them DFS, maybe they sit them, but that's what he'd been doing all year anyways, blowing up in the first half. And this was a very rugged game. If you're an Eagles fan, it's not ideal entering the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's probably better to get like Hurts out there as opposed to taking like a month and a half off of football and then like running there in the first playoff game, don't you think?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, no, if he couldn't do further damage, and that makes sense. Yes, and it's not like Minshew was lighting it up. So yeah, no, that I could see that part of the argument. And now you have him back in some action, and now 2 weeks to prepare. So maybe that's all that matters, frankly. And who cares if they didn't light up the scoreboard in this game that didn't matter and they won anyway.
Hey, Devontae Smith, pretty good player there. Man, another big game to end the year. He's wide.
Did I see you set the record for the most catches by the on the Eagles franchise history? I think.
He had 95 on the year, 88 for AJ Brown on the year, and they're both top 10 fantasy receivers to finish the season, which is pretty impressive, man. God,
wow.
What a good player, Devontae Smith. Both these guys are legit number one receivers. Incredible stuff there from Devontae Smith and AJ Brown. All right, we've waited long enough. Talk about Commanders 26, Cowboys 6, the Sam Howell Show, Dalton. Well, I haven't heard from my dad about Sam Howell. I got to do like a wellness check on my father. He hasn't mentioned Sam. It's been, you know, 24 hours, almost 24 hours. I haven't heard from him yet. So how are you feeling after the great Sam Howell showing?
I mean, what we all expected, first NFL throw resulting in a touchdown, 8.9 YPA, getting it done. I mean, with some third string running backs helping him out against the playoff team, Dallas playing their starters. I mean, let's go, Sam Howell. Not really, really in all seriousness. He's someone that they need to consider and to see if he is their future, and they probably should have looked to him, get him a little bit more playing time earlier. That was certainly a mistake, but Rivera is still wondering if Washington is eligible to make the playoffs.
Are we eliminated now? No, yeah, I think that Sam Howell might be in the mix. It depends on what type of swing they want to take a quarterback in the offseason, because, you know, if they bring in like a Minshew type and, you know, all right, we're going to do Sam Howell versus Gardner Minshew. I don't know. That's a lot, though. Like, these guys are all going to have their jobs on the line next year if they don't get fired before, you know, before this podcast gets published, right? Like, let's just say they all stick around. Rivera is going to be on the hot seat. You know, Scott Turner as play caller will be on the hot seat. Jack Del Rio, all these guys. Like, you're really going to stick it with you're going to do that with like Sam Howell and some other vagabond veteran there. I don't know. That would be kind of tough. But we'll see how they decide to navigate the. They're another team that just like laser focus. Okay, I know you got other problems. You need to figure out who you're bringing back on the defensive line. You got some free agents and contract decisions to make there. But they're another team that just needs to be laser focused on fixing the quarterback. Because if they had like a legit quarterback this year, I'm convinced they would have been. They certainly could have competed like at a Dallas level. You know, be the NFC's fifth seed, stuff like that. But on Dallas, man. This is not the way you want to enter a playoff race here.
No. First of all, with Washington, tell me if I'm exaggerating when I say McLaurin and Dotson have the upside to be like a top five, top six, type seven duo in the league in the network. Yeah, I mean, really legit upside. Okay. All right. Yeah. 100%. Dak Prescott, seven straight games with a picked in the year. I know there's been a lot of on grass narrative. Yes, that's been against of the better teams too, but they've been struggling outdoors. And I mean, I know I'm not here to preview this Tampa Bay game that I've talked to you about. I knew it's coming, but this was not ideal for the Cowboys in any shape or form, playing their starters and resulting in an ugly loss in Washington, but didn't matter. You know, now they can maybe shake it off when it matters here in the playoffs. But this is, as you said, not ideal entering the tournament.
Yeah, we'll talk about that game a ton this week. I saw Jason Garrett pushing the on grass narrative on, you know, before Sunday Night Football. So I guess that's an interesting one. But man, yeah, it's just Dak, bro. You could like excuse a lot of the Dak interceptions as like, all right, that's just like a tips off the guy's finger in the tight window. You know, it's not necessarily his fault. This was just a bad Dak game to end the year, and again, tough time for it to happen. Steelers 28, Browns 14. Hey, listen, Mike Tomlin gets another winning season. This year, I do think it was impressive. I think it was impressive to get this team into the mix, and like, you know, they could potentially have made the playoffs if the Dolphins had lost to the Jets. But still, they head into the offseason. My thing is they just need to change the offensive coordinator. And I think this team does have pretty good personnel there on the offensive side of the football. They just need a better scheme there for these guys to operate in.
Yeah, fitting. Dante Johnson saw 10 more targets without a touchdown.
Of course. Couldn't get that one in. Hey, there were times too watching this game, Dalton, where like he has like who's wide open on a slant route in the end zone, and the ball, Kenny Pickett throws the ball and like it gets batted down, and you could tell how much it was bothering Dante Johnson. Like, I got to hear about this crap all offseason.
Yeah. We all love George Pickens. And as you said, Pickett, encouraging finish to the year. Najee Harris will be interesting. How much was that foot injury holding him back? And he's ended the year on a high note for sure, despite the lost fumble notwithstanding. So yeah, Pittsburgh going in the right direction, obviously so well coached. And when TJ Watt is healthy, that defense is so different. So, and then on the flip side, what do we make of Deshaun Watson here after he was looking so bad? I almost tweeted before halftime of last game. I'm like, they'd be better off with Randy Watson playing quarterback. But of course, the Coming to America joke would be both over your head and probably a little too dated for you. But then my wife's like, I'm like, should I actually do a tweet? This is a funny one. I think it's funny. She's like, nobody might play well after. I'm like, you know, you're right. I'll wait till after the game. And then he came out and did really well that second half. Although Washington decided not to tackle Amari Cooper. It was really weird. Those throws were like just sideline, and a lot of it resulted in some yards after the catch. But here he is in Pittsburgh getting 7.9 YPA. I didn't watch this game a ton. What are our thoughts on Watson? Was it just rust that he was shaking off, and these final six quarters looked like he could be, you know, the quarterback he once was?
I don't know. I saw Robert Mays tweet that among 39 quarterbacks with at least 150 attempts this year, Deshaun Watson finished 38th in EPA per dropback. Only Joe Flacco was worse. No, you're not. He's one spot lower than Zach Wilson. Okay, so you're not trying to be in that spot on the rankings there. I think you could certainly. There's a couple things with Cleveland here, and put the Watson thing aside. Like, where he is going to end up? Like, will he get back to his old form in Houston? I don't know, but there are definitely issues with how he fits with this offense. Like, the weird thing about him is that I don't think he's ever been, even at his best moments in Houston, he's never been like a timing rhythm quarterback. And this offense has thrived. Kevin Stefanski's scheme has thrived with like Jacoby Brissett just keeping the train on the tracks. Like, Baker Mayfield's good year was when he was just keeping the trains on the track. Like, Watson's not that guy, never has been that guy. So can he adjust to fit the offense? Can the offense adjust to fit him a little bit more? Maybe that coalesces in 2023. But also, like, they need better players on offense too. And I'm not making excuses for Watson either, but there have certainly been like plays left on the field by Donovan Peoples-Jones. DPJ is a nice player. He should not be your like clear-cut number two wide receiver. Like, they need another wide receiver in the mix. Nick Chubb was definitely not healthy to finish the year. That was obviously very apparent. But yeah, I mean, Watson played poorly to end this year. There's no like getting around that. And I think Cleveland just has like, you would like to think off field, obviously the vibes will always be weird because of Watson. And, you know, no one's ever going to sit there and feel bad for the Browns for anything that happens. But they certainly, you'd like to think that they'd enter this offseason and be like, all right, you know what? We didn't make the playoffs, but we only had Deshaun for this amount of games. No, like they have a ton of questions that they're facing in the offseason, and that just, it doesn't look good based on how Watson played.
Man, 6.5 YPA, you said the second worst EPA per dropback, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Watson is the highest paid player in the NFL right now.
I think I saw Andrew Brandt say that he is the only like contract that you can't get out of, like in the NFL. Like, anybody else, like, all right, at some point with Russell Wilson, they'll be able to get out of the contract, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, you know, you want to get out of that contract eventually, you can take a big dead cap it, but like Watson's fully guaranteed. And that's like why the Ravens don't want to do this with Lamar, who is not at all, from an off-field perspective, anything the as gross as like Deshaun Watson, right? But it's just like the injury stuff. What if his play tails off, you know, all that type of thing. That's why the Ravens don't want, that's why all NFL owners did not want this to become like a precedent And you know, just it happens for a guy like Watson because of the spot he was in, and it obviously feels weird that it happened for that guy, not for a guy like Lamar Jackson, but it is what it is. Next game up here, 49ers 38, Cardinals 13. Hey man, 49ers looking good. You know, they stomp out a team that's starting David Blau here. You got to feel pretty good about them coming to the playoffs here. Although I'm sure you don't. I'm sure you've got lots of layers of anxiety about it.
They have laid a touchdown early in multiple games here. The Charger game I went to, and then that AJ Green play was just wild to start that one. But the Niners finish winning 10 straight games, the best point differential in the NFL. Their offense would have ranked second in EPA per play over the entire season with Brock Purdy at QB behind only the Chiefs. Their defense is first in EPA per drive. So yeah, I'm excited. It may be raining Saturday here, but I was lucky Sunday to avoid it, but it definitely could be raining during this Saturday game. Seattle is used to the rain. So yeah, looking forward to that game. A good season for the Niners, and just crazy that Brock Purdy, how it turned out. I mean, just insane. How did, I mean, who would have seen that coming? I mean, yeah, it's just crazy. He's like only a player, Herbert, to throw multiple touchdowns in their first six games in the NFL. So pretty cool stuff. And yeah, George Kittle's grandma turned 100 years old, and we all sang happy birthday to her Sunday in the stadium.
That's amazing.
It was her first game ever at Levi's Stadium, too. It almost feels like sounded too good to be true. And it was slightly because her birthday was like a day before, but they fibbed on that. I later found out, but pretty cool. Her grandma's 100th birthday, the whole stadium saying happy birthday to her, and he caught his second touchdown right afterward. And I found the key to, and I've been to a million sporting events in my life, never been on the Jumbotron, but was on twice during this game, Harmon, because you just bring your kids and her friend up there, and you put the cute 9-year-old on there, and then you're on the Jumbotron twice. So that at least I had that going for me. But yeah, I'll be neurotic all week thinking of the ways that Seattle and Pete Carroll chomping his gum are going to upset the Niners this week for sure.
I mean, hey, shout out to you guys for getting on the Jumbotron. Yeah, nobody wants to see you up there, but it's definitely kids, that helps. That's a good thing there. Hey, I don't know if a lot of people in Arizona want to look back and see what happened this year. What a disaster of a season for the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, as we are taping this, Cliff Kingsbury has been fired. Steve Keim is stepping away to work on his health. So basically, these guys get extended. They extend Kyler Murray. A total nightmare season. Cliff's going to be cashing them checks for a while. Shout out to Cliff for that. But, you know, Kyler Murray gets hurt late in the year. Talk about an undesirable job here. It's here in Arizona, because you better be, like, convinced that you can turn around Kyler Murray. And, I think the jury's still out on that. And obviously, he's not even going to be the guy to start the season next year, most likely.
Yeah, not just Kyler Murray, but a Kyler Murray coming off a torn ACL. So one who's not going to
exactly,
be. The team even came out recently and said, we don't expect him to be ready week one. They delayed his surgery. It just happened last week in January. Yeah. So at best, he's going to be compromised runner when he returns. But that's a tough situation. And again, Kingsbury's second half. This second half started early. He started this year 2-2, and then the fall happened. But brutal coaching stint for him there. Didn't turn out as he expected. J.J. Watt is only final thoughts for Arizona for me. Cool that his final game was so disruptive. He recorded,
I believe,
two sacks, but nearly a third, too. He was really disruptive up the middle. I mean, it happened to work perfectly that Aaron Banks, a guard on the Niners, got hurt last week. But, man, Watt still has plenty left in the tank. It was cool to see him go out on a high note.
Yeah, as he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said after the game, like, I'm not going out because I can't. I'm going out because I don't want to anymore. Like,
definitely, you know, not. Yeah,
he was awesome to end this game. Him and AJ Green. That might be AJ Green's last game, too. And he goes out, not quite on the same note, but I mean, huge play there to start the game for AJ Green. So, yeah, those two legends. I mean, that 2011 draft, both those guys were in it. What a incredible draft class that was. You know, Von Miller, Cam Newton was in it. You know, Blaine Gabbert was in it. So there you go. Hey, all right, next game up here, Broncos 31, Chargers 28. Obviously, you know, a lot of discussion about why did the Chargers leave their starters in so long. Bosa banged up. Mike Williams had to be helped out with like a back spasm situation. As I always say, ain't nobody used to have a bad back. Mike Williams has a bad back. That's definitely going to be an issue going to Jacksonville next week. We'll see what happens there. Of course, also the Broncos, you know, they've already started to cast a pretty wide net when it comes to coaching candidates. They've requested and got permission to speak with Sean Payton. They requested permission to speak with Dan Quinn. They're going to look for a lot of different guys there. They potentially want to talk to D'Amico Ryans, all that stuff. Jim Harbaugh in the mix, the whole thing. So the Broncos, again, that's an ownership group that will spend. So there is that at least.
Yeah, it sucks that Mike Williams even had to be helped like onto the team bus afterward. And they have to play Saturday, a short turnaround. So, yeah, just a crappy situation there with the players getting hurt when they probably shouldn't have even been on the field. I'm surprised to hear that Sean Payton is interested in this Denver job. And it sounds like he's even laying out like how he's going to fix Russell Wilson. Feels like to me he could just sit back and pick a better situation. But maybe he believes, maybe I'm wrong, and he has Russell
money.
Wilson did fin. Russell Wilson,
money.
Also, yeah, that, of course.
Also money. Also, let's everything. Not forget about money.
For sure. And Russell Wilson did have a better finish after Hackett left. So, I mean, maybe there is something to that. And just, can we just, I mean, he's Albert Zero again. The guy, once I bought back in for DFS, he puts up another goose egg. Just very, very frustrating there to end the year there fittingly. But, yeah, I hope the Chargers get healthy for Saturday night in this matchup we're all looking forward to.
And, hey, well, listen, you beat yourself up about the Albert Zero thing, but both Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy played 15 games this year. Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver 20. Cortland Sutton, wide receiver 42. I was really not into either of these guys this year. You know, I've been very against Cortland Sutton for a long time. He's not a number one receiver. Jeudy, though, really interesting finish to his season here. I still think he's like kind of misunderstood as a player, and he's more of like a splash big play threat, not like a great technical route runner, all that type of stuff. I think he's living off like college reputation there, but really it ended up being a nice season for Jerry Jeudy, who could be a guy that gets traded in the offseason. Like if you're looking for surprise trade candidates, I think he would potentially be one. There were rumors about that at the deadline, but he played extremely well to end this year. So I'll give you some credit there that you were one of the very few like Jeudy straight up over Sutton. I was kind of not into either one of those guys, but Jeudy finished the year well.
Yeah, thank you. And there's clearly durability issues with Jeudy, but he absolutely should be ranked ahead of Sutton next year. There's a 2 years of evidence when they're on the field together. Jeudy just balls on him. So yeah. But
no question about that. All right. Last game here. Falcons 30, Tampa Bay 17. Tampa wasn't really trying to win. They got their guys some reps, that stuff, but like Blaine Gabbert was in the game before too long. Mike Evans didn't do anything in this game. So we don't have to really talk much about the Bucs. The Falcons, though, look, I'm a sicko. But I am really interested in the Falcons offense next year. They do need a quarterback. There's no question about that. I'm not sure that Desmond Ridder showed enough to just walk into next season as a starter. I think he could potentially be in the mix based on what they do, you know, where they fall in the draft order, all that type of stuff. But Kyle Pitts is going to be back next year. I think Arthur Smith's a really good coach. Tyler Allgeier had a pretty quiet 1,000-yard rushing season, and Drake London is a baller, man.
Yeah, so I saw a set of Ritter's like deep completion percentage was really like bottom barrel of the league, but I'm sure it's a small sample. And he had a couple, his first two starts were tough road starts, so the jury definitely remains out on him. Drake London, it does not remain out. It looks like he's an absolute baller, and hopefully he gets competent quarterback play. He's the real deal. And Allgeier, just quietly one of the best rookie seasons easily this year, under the radar. I mean, with Patterson stealing a ton of opportunities too. So yeah, Allgeier was fantastic.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a fun offense. If they get like a high-end quarterback, I think it could be a really good group there. We'll see if Allgeier is like the day one starting running back next year. You know, it's always tough with these day three guys, but to go for 1,000 yards and finish the year, like his December or not December, but like last 4 weeks was really awesome there for Tyler Allgeier. So should be a fun offseason for the Atlanta Falcons as they try to fix this team, take the next step there. All right. Dalton, that's going to do it for us. Shout out to you. Hell of a show. And you're on the Jumbotron. Dalton's riding high. Got the first playoff game with the 49ers there. So shout out to you, Dalton.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Harmon. Wish my Niners luck. And I had a great time talking football with you on the podcast all year long, man. You're doing a great job.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm only doing a good job because you guys are making me look good. So thank you for being on the show all year long. And it was a really fun regular season. I liked this regular season of football, and I think we are in for a banger.
Well, if I don't get to talk to you before, is Tampa Bay not beating they're not winning Monday night, right? I mean, they're going to beat the Cowboys,
yeah.
Right?
It's okay. 100%. Okay. Yeah, it's all happening. Right. Okay. It's happening all for sure. All right. It's definitely happening. Hopefully we will talk to Dalton again very soon. In the meantime, you can follow him at Dalton Del Don on Twitter. Just waiting for that tweet, man. You know, see if he keeps that New Year's resolution, get some more tweets out there. And of course,
the TV tweet is coming. Be on the lookout. Yes.
There we go. Love that. That's an annual banger that you got to tune in for Dalton there at the very least. In the meantime, you can also follow me on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB and @YahooFantasy to stay up to date on everything you need to know to be a better fantasy manager. I mean, my God, 2023 drafts will be here before you know it. Best ball season will be here before you know it. So time to get ready, okay? I'll be back on Wednesday with Los Angeles Chargers running back Austin Eckler before he heads to Jacksonville for their playoff game. Until then, we're out.